There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a line of despair. So hero,
thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Katz with a Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, our news magazine, which is published on The Sunday, except when it's published on...
The Saturday.
The Saturday. Trish McCrone, my beautiful co-host, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantabulous.
What's happening with you, baby doll? You smell good today.
Thank you. I showered.
What's that
I'm
groovy
kidding.
Scent you're wearing?
It's called My Aura.
My Aura?
My scent. It's just my natural
oh,
scent.
Oh, that's not the name of yes. something. It's, oh,
no,
okay.
no.
My Aura would be the
I mean,
good name
of
something.
It could be Chanel No. 5, but I'm just going to say it's my natural it's my natural floral classic
Now, as
scent.
I understand, Chanel No. 5 is one better than Chanel No. 4.
It is.
But not as good as Motel 6.
Okay. Yes, it's better than
oh,
all.
It's better yeah. than Motel 6? Okay.
Yes.
Or the Super 8?
It's Coco Chanel, darling. It's the original.
Love Potion number 9.
Yeah. No, I don't need that. Maybe I do. I'm single.
It doesn't hurt. I mean, hey.
Maybe I should give up Chanel number 5 and look into Love Potion number 9, because whatever, Chanel is not, Coco's let me down here because I'm still single.
Coco let me down once too, but that's a whole different story.
Exactly.
She was lovely. Anyway, what can we talk about? Let's talk about New York.
Okay, let's
what
talk
do,
about New York.
What do I have a quiz for you?
Yes.
Here's my quiz.
Okay.
What do Debbie Harry, Salman Rushdie, Dick Cavett, Glenn Beck, and Larry O'Donnell and Gilbert Gottfried have in common?
I've dated them all. I'm kidding.
You dated
I haven't.
Debbie Harry?
I haven't. No. No,
you
I have no
Deborah
idea.
Harry?
I know who all of them are.
Okay.
That's what they have
they
in common.
They were all in the same room at the same time on Sunday at the Penn & Teller Broadway premiere at Marquee Theater. All of them were in the,
that's very
the
cool.
show and in the after party.
That's very cool.
So I kid you not, I turned to go toward the cheese station, which is the hallmark of any great
exactly,
after party.
Exactly, I was just about to say, yeah. the cheese station.
If you don't have like 6 or 7 varieties of cheese, I'm not even walking
It's important,
in.
Yes.
It's super
especially
important.
If they're serving wine, you know, you need to have
especially
a little wine
the little
cheese.
Are the little mozzarellas in the red skin?
Yes.
I'm such a sucker for those things.
But do you peel it off the red?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sometimes
I think it's wax, isn't it?
It's wax, yeah, okay. imported wax.
More importantly than more
wax.
Important than Dick Cavett and Debbie Harry and everything. Let's talk about the cheese.
Let's. Cats. I want to have two conversations. I want because you'll appreciate this. I get introduced to I meet Deborah Harry, and I go and I say to her,
"Call me."
I say to her, "Penn Jillette told me that you are the inspiration for the Jill Jet." And she goes, "Oh my God, that man talks too much." Now, here's the backstory. There's a jacuzzi feature that has been developed and patented by Penn Jillette that is special for female inhabitants.
And he has
inhabitants.
It in his home.
And he had it in his home. He's moved out of the slammer, but it was in the backyard. He's now moved out of that house. But this feature allows a person to have fun in a jacuzzi.
Mainly a woman.
A woman.
To
and it was inspired
have
by
a lot of fun.
Deborah Harry, because in a trip to Florida that they made many, many years ago to see the shuttle launch down at Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral, whatever it is. She told Penn Jillette, she mentioned to him offhandedly that the resort they were staying in had a jacuzzi that wasn't properly outfitted for that purpose.
Ah.
And he went back and invented this. It's the Jill Jet, and it's Deborah Harry who inspired it.
That's very interesting.
Right. And then Salman Rushdie.
I was just about to say, that's the one that I'm really interested in.
Salman Rushdie, I go up to him and I say, "What did you think of the show? How do you know these guys? You met him at the Telluride Film Festival many years ago." He says, they blew my mind. He goes, "And this is amazing because I knew coming in that they were going to blow my mind, and they still blew my mind." He'd never seen him live before. And I invited him to come out and see some shows in Las Vegas if he's ever in town. And he took my card and he goes, "I will take you up on this because I haven't been to Las Vegas in many, many years."
So that's cool.
You might have a sighting of Johnny.
I love that. And I have to say that I met Dick Cavett for the first time with Wayne Newton in
when
Chicago when we were doing the thing for the summer season for the LVCVA last year
oh
in Chicago.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We were... Literally, they kind of were on this on the WGN morning show, but it's kind of like the two of them just kind of took over and started hosting the whole thing. The two of them, it was pretty.
They were
fun.
On air the same.
Yeah,
time?
Yeah.
Oh God,
great.
I gotta
like
look
he
that
stuck
up.
Around. Yeah, it was fun for Wayne. You know, like Wayne, they stuck around and kind of like just kind of kept going throughout the rest of the show with them with the host. It was very cute.
Dick Cavett was one of the most uniquely skilled interviewers ever,
and a voice.
Uh huh.
Oh man,
and very very sharp and very well read man. And
speaking of very sharp.
Very sharp.
Is that a good transition? I don't know how well-read he is, but he's very good with rubber bands, I think.
Yes, sir. Yes, that's right. Our friend, first-time guest coming up on Cats with a Dish, who's the founder of the band Reckless in Vegas, that plays hard rock versions of classic songs that were famous in the 60s in Las Vegas, is going to join us. His name is Michael Shapiro. Great guy, great artist. So he's going to be coming up after Josh Bell with his latest film reviews. So stick around. I know we will. Las Vegas!
When you're small, energy's compressed, so you have the force of a 200-pound man behind a fist a hundredth of an inch wide. You're like a bullet. You punch too hard, you kill someone too soft, it's a love tap. In other words, you have to know how to punch.
I was in prison for 3 years. I know how to punch.
Show me.
That's Evangeline Lilly lecturing Paul Rudd as the title character in Ant-Man, the latest Marvel superhero movie. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Semi-reformed thief Scott Lang, played by Paul Rudd, is recruited by scientist Hank Pym, played by Michael Douglas, to steal a weaponized version of Pym's size-changing suit from a greedy technocrat. Ant-Man plays things relatively safe, but it's still a different sort of Marvel superhero movie, a looser, funnier, and lower-stakes story than Marvel's typical world-ending spectacles. I give Ant-Man 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the comedy Trainwreck, starring comedian Amy Schumer as a commitment-averse writer and Bill Hader as the doctor she falls for.
I think we really like each other and we should start dating.
No, I'm saying, I'm confused. Am I not communicating this right? Like,
No, I hear you. I'm just saying I disagree. Do you like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I really like you. So we should be a couple.
No. I have plans.
What are your plans?
Dentist.
Is that true?
No.
Schumer also wrote the script for this funny, if ultimately predictable, romantic comedy. The reversal of the typical romantic comedy gender dynamics only takes things so far, and the extensive cameos from famous athletes quickly get tiresome, but the jokes are funny enough and Schumer is charming enough to compensate for the shortcomings. I give Trainwreck 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. What happens, folks, when you dump the Rat Pack and Green Day into a Cuisinart? You get Reckless in Vegas. This is a power trio that performs rocking versions of such 1960s Vegas classics as Luck Be a Lady, Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime, Mr. Bojangles, and of course, Danka. Shane. Reckless in Vegas is attempting to gain a hold on this city, and on August 14th, they hit Cabaret Jazz at the Smith Center for a show that is billed as Reinvented and Reinvigorated. That's Vegas Reinvented and Reinvigorated. It's 8 p.m. on that night, August 14th, and here with us now is the band's founder, the esteemed Michael Shapiro. Michael, welcome to Cats with a Dish.
Thank you so much. The founder.
You're a first-timer. First-timer to Cats with a Dish. Wow. Yes.
That was the hazing right there.
Gotcha.
Oh,
that was so gentle. Yes. More, please. Yeah.
Never hear that
well,
one
you
enough.
Know, the guy that does Danka Shane sings our theme song. So he's big time. Oh. He got to he begged to sing our theme song.
Mr. Las Vegas sings our theme song. And it wasn't easy to get George Wallace to sing the
Low blow.
I swear to God, some cats.
I'm sorry, Dishy.
You guys fight dirty here.
Oh my gosh.
I was just trying to wake you up.
I'm going to replay that for Wayne. You're in trouble.
Wayne Newton is Mr. Las Vegas.
Yes.
Except no substitute.
Yes, exactly.
I concur.
Sorry, Wayne. Anyway.
Danka Shane.
You're an old soul. I know that. And you're a Las Vegas person. Also,
yeah.
You grew up here, right?
I did.
Take us through a little bit of the path of how Michael Shapiro developed this act and is coming back to Las Vegas as a Las Vegas resident.
Well, I've been gone for 15 years.
Okay.
Why would you leave?
The heat.
Okay. As I'm supposed to be out of town right now,
it's
I understand.
Certainly cooler than that. Yes. It wasn't.
You know, I just wanted a change. I was here 28 years, and you know, my grandfather moved here in 1955 and owned a hotel here, the Royal Nevada, which became the Stardust, and which is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And he started United Coin, Gaming, which is a big gaming company here in town.
You're like royalty.
And I just I felt like coming back because we created this show, Tailor Fit for Las Vegas, and my grandfather grandfather was always enamored by the showgirls and the shows in town. He always talked about it. He always talked about Frank Sinatra. My mom and my dad told me a story about having their elbow on the stage with Frank Sinatra. And so a couple years ago, got this idea. We went from doing all originals to I got this vision to kind of go back and revisit Vegas in the 60s. And I started studying the music, and the music just knocked my socks off. And we figured out a way to make a modern and kind of edgy, and I took the idea to a producer and a friend of mine who produced our first original album, and he loved the idea and started churning out these arrangements. So it's been a
good
time.
About when was this, Michael?
Dan Shea is our producer and partner. He actually did our first original album in 2008, and then we did an album with Sylvia Massey, and then back in 2012 is when I actually made the phone call
to
Dan.
So you were outside of Las Vegas when this epiphany hit you.
Yeah.
To devote your career to these songs.
In a meditation, no doubt.
Really?
I was getting my morning meditation.
I want to know I don't want to know the mantra, man, that led to
you know what? God, please tell me how to make money in the music business. I'm failing. I don't want this to be a lifelong hobby.
That's
and
the
boom.
Vegas mantra. Yeah.
So basically, you had to leave Vegas to truly appreciate the history of it.
There you go. Yeah. That, and you know, I also didn't realize how crazy Las Vegas can be until I left. And when I left, I went, wow. You know, I thought the whole world was open 24/7.
Yeah, I know. When people say last call, I'm like, what?
Yeah, right? It's kind of confusing. And definitely, and there's many things that I've missed about Las Vegas since I've been gone. But I think it's good to get some perspective and go travel around a bit. I lived in Portland for 5 years and in the Bay Area for the last 9 years.
Where you came from before you moved here was in... which part of the Bay Area were you?
San Jose. Born in San Jose. My mom moved to Portland. My dad moved to Las Vegas. And I went back and forth for the first 5 years of my life.
Now, how is Reckless in Vegas received in the venues you've been playing in the Bay Area and elsewhere?
It's good. It's good. You know, we had a small fan base because we were playing originals for a couple of years in the area and touring a bit. There's one venue in Mill Valley called the Sweetwater, which is one of our favorites. It's about a 300-capacity venue, and, you know, we were able to sell it out, you know, at least 4 times a year, and people love it. It's definitely different, but we've infused a little, you know, like we do Sinatra's Very Good Year, but underneath it is Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit, mm-hmm. right, Bay Area band.
Yeah.
You know, I do a version of Black Magic Woman to honor Santana, and mm-hmm. that's also Bay Area. So we did a couple of things
that's kind of cagey, yeah.
You know who else is Bay Area?
Who?
One of my favorite performers ever.
Huey Lewis in the News.
Well, yeah, no, but that sounds like I'm thinking
band.
Of.
Journey.
Greg Kinn, yeah.
Greg
Kinn. Oh, my gosh.
Steve Perry.
No.
Those are all favorites.
I understand that. They are all favorites, yeah. But what is better than all of them? Chris Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
Is Isaac a band?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Shapiro's got a kind of vibe.
Yeah,
Isaac vibe.
Yeah, Lou.
You could play Chris Isaac in the Legend Show.
You have Isaac hair. Yeah, you have Chris Isaac hair, which is great hair.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you.
As a matter of fact, both of you guys have great hair. I'm very impressed by the foliage going on here.
No entertainment acumen.
Is that foliage? Is that what hair is called?
Foliage.
Foliage. Foliage.
Foliage.
I don't know. I made that word up, but... So now, have you seen a difference in the turnout to your fans since you switched to doing this Vegas stuff, or is it just your fans have just followed you the whole way through?
You know, the difference is that we'll get new fans in a new area, and like 3 songs in, they're singing all the words, you know, and that to me is successful. People, our job is to entertain people, and when people hear original music for the first time, you know, that they feel the groove, they hear the melody, but they don't really connect with the message so much the first time, really, until they hear a recorded version of it, and they kind of become fans of the album. Do they get it that way? But this right out of the gate, we win people over immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't quite, I had a little bit more of a struggle with that with original music over the years.
Yeah, exactly. That's really commonplace in Las Vegas,
yeah,
as you know.
Yeah.
A lot of great, we have many, many performers who have great originals, mm-hmm. and they're used sparsely in their stage show because it's, you know, because of the audiences that come to Las Vegas want to hear the familiar music.
But it's a harder sell.
Yeah, and you've turned that around a little bit and created... Yeah. What is an original take on existing classics? Are they all played to, or all these classics and standards played to, mashed with existing hard rock songs? Like, is it always a Green Day song, or is it? Do you mix it up? Because I hear a lot of Green Day.
Yeah.
It's like tricky. Holiday has been in one of the songs. I think the song Holiday.
Joan Jett. There's little, you know, little pieces of everything. I mean, as with everything, we're influenced by the music that we love and we hear. And you know, Dan is a very eclectic style. He's quite the genius. And we did use Green Day in the beginning. Here's how it happened. So on the first album I did with him was an original album. And it was an EP. It only had 5 songs. And he agreed to produce it. And then toward the end of it, he called me over to the studio, and I went, and he said, "Do you know Neil Diamond's Solitary Man?" And I said, "Well, I know it." And he goes, "Well, go home and learn it, and then come back and play it." And I went home and learned the song, went back to the studio, and I played it for him. And he goes, "Okay, great. Now
you played the
I played Neil
straight.
Diamond's version, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, with an acoustic guitar and a vocal."
Okay.
And then he said, "Okay, here's what I'm hearing." And he pushed play on his computer, and Green Day came out. And he goes, "I want to do that to this."
What was the song?
God, I don't remember.
But it was a green.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't remember which one it
Weird.
Was. Yeah, and so I went, great, go ahead, you know. And so that was the sixth song on the EP. And now, 5 years later, is when the idea came to do this. Obviously, that was part of it. Dan taught me what could be done with a song. So we do take influences from other songs, but there's nothing. I mean, I encourage people to guess. Okay, what is that part in the song? See if you can figure it out. Because there's no out and out ripoffs, but there's definitely influence.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the two mashups we do, those are clearly ripoffs because we actually are, it's a mashup we're mm-hmm. taking, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot of mashup going on the strip anyway with our DJs. So
yeah,
I think
of
if they bust
oh,
you,
yeah.
If they bust you, they've missed Calvin
oh my gosh,
Harris
exactly.
and Tiesto.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
We're paying
DJ.
Homage. We're not ripping
yeah,
them off.
Yeah, that's right. It's yeah. a tribute.
Yeah. But we wanted it to be really, really original because, we you know, I'm an original artist, and I didn't want to do a tribute act. I wanted to do something that kept the heart of the original versions because they were beautiful. But as a writer, as an artist, I wanted to be able to perform original music, so we were very careful. It was a touchy subject for us because we didn't want to screw the songs up. We wanted to enhance them and actually transcend them to another mm-hmm. level,
right?
Which I feel like we've achieved.
It's hard to get that kind of Rat Pack vibe in a hard rock and roll
totally.
Achieved, isn't it? Did it take a while to develop your stage act? Because the act itself works right away, but not everybody can achieve that. It looks so simple, but not everybody can pull that off. People have tried in Las Vegas to do what you're doing. They haven't been able to do it.
Yeah, it seems so natural. It was like, and I don't know if it was my grandfather's influence or my love for these songs. It just seemed, and also, you know, I'm a tenor, it just seemed to fit. And mm-hmm. I was recently told by a music teacher here, a vocal coach, that I'm in my prime as a tenor. And that made me feel really good.
He said this recently?
Yes, recently.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, mid-40s, they say. That's where a tenor really hits
really?
Their stride.
Wow.
Now, even if he was lying to me, it's okay, because I believe him.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there singing better than I've ever sang. So.
But there you go.
Well, if you can maintain your prime in this climate, you're going to be doing something, you know.
Lots of water. I got a humidifier in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's
not a
so
problem.
I mean, so when you left here, you were obviously been performing your whole life.
Yeah, I started playing when I was a kid, but I also, you know, I'm an entrepreneur as well, and so I started service companies here. I had a carpet cleaning company in the early 90s, and
wow.
a restaurant delivery company that I got into involved with my family, and then I built a coin-operated laundromat. So I was always doing those things, but music has been my dream since I was a little kid. You know?
So did you perform here before you moved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Performed here quite a bit. Yeah, we used to play The Crown and Anchor constantly. I don't know if that's
oh,
still
yeah.
there.
The Crown
still...
of Anchor's still there.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, and then the Boston was up on... Jones, maybe? Is there a place called the Boston?
I don't know. That's
don't know.
The other side of the country.
That's how the
oh, yeah.
I'm an East Sider. It's
Florida. You know, since you lived here, a lot of those little haunts are gone. Like Mad Dogs and Englishmen,
it's
gone.
It's
you
gone.
Know, that's another one.
Carlos Murphy's still across the
no.
street?
No.
Gone. Yeah.
That was Tommy Rocker's place, was it not?
Oh.
Tommy Rocker is now down on...
Flamingo, right?
Yeah, he's off Flamingo, just in the shadow of the Rio.
Oh,
and,
right.
And he's still kicking it there, but that was his place.
We did a thing there in 99. It was Edom. I don't know if they still do Edom here.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
They don't. It was Shu Shifrin Cassidy and David Cassidy's wife put
uh-huh.
that on, and she had another partner in it. So
cool
you guys
idea.
Were in Edom?
Yeah, we were
Where'd
in Edom.
Where'd you play?
We played that Tommy Rocker's
oh,
was our venue. That's the one we got.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
That was the one story about Edom I remember is that there was a number of bands inside the Mirage at the time.
Uh-huh.
And... Steve Wynn walked through the hotel and told the Pulled guys at the console to turn it down or
play. Oh, yeah, turn
it
down. It
was so loud. Yeah, turn down that noise.
Probably needed to be turned down, but, you know, nobody wants to hear that. Turn
I don't know
down.
If anybody ever came out of Edom. I don't
yeah.
know if there are any acts. You might be the only one still making yeah. music.
Well, considering I've never even heard of Edom.
Edom, it was the Emerging
right.
Artists.
There you go.
Emerging
Artists.
There was
okay,
a
if you guys can't remember
talent.
It, must have been them.
What Edom was this is worth it, because my cousin
cool
is a, my cousin's an artist. Actually, my cousin played in Edom. His name's Marcus Eaton, and he's a terrific, he records with
I was just about to
David
say, it sounds like your cousin's name, Edom.
Yeah, Marcus Eaton. Eaton.
Yeah.
He started it.
Yeah,
he won the whole thing.
He played at the Mirage. I know that's why
oh.
that happened, but
yeah.
he records with the David Crosby. Now
oh,
he's
cool.
Writing. It's a big deal.
Wow.
But he came, when he was very new to the industry, he came and played here, and there were a lot of bands who played that way and came into Las Vegas and were kind of disappointed because they thought this was going to be a very high potential launching pad, and it wasn't. So,
Now, what do you think in terms of, speaking of that, when you left and now coming back, the entertainment industry has completely changed. I mean, it is night and day.
It's so competitive.
So how do you, I mean, you know, I guess because we've just been here for this long that we forget, you know, like back then it was still, you know, Siegfried and Roy, and you had a lot of headliners and Danny Gans and Wayne, and all these people were up and down, and now it's Cirque shows and DJs.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a different landscape. So what do you, I mean, what do you think about how it's changed?
You know, I've been going to shows. I saw Frank at the Venetian, and I saw the Jersey Boys, and I saw Vegas the show. For me personally, I love entertainment. I love to go see it. I learn. It's like going to school, and I'm thoroughly entertained. I love it all. I'm not a big DJ fan. I do like the DJs that are actually composing their own music. I can appreciate that.
They're getting more into that kind of.
That's what
I think. Like
the pendulum's starting to swing back a little bit.
I like it on the radio, but I can't understand the big deal of going to a club.
Yeah.
To see. Well, I mean, then again, I'm old, so what do I know?
Maybe that's all of our problems. I don't know. But I look at it, it's working for people. I'm happy to see people having a good time, and that's what it's about. You know, I feel a tremendous level of competition here.
Oh, yeah.
I think you've got to work as an artist, work really hard, have something that you love, and just stay the course. And I think that for me, I would have regretted not coming back here and trying this thing. And I'm not going to regret, you know, whatever happens out of this, I'm having the time of my life. I love having purpose and working hard, and I believe in this project wholeheartedly. And I show people do too. I can see it. It's already happening.
You know, when I caught up with you guys, you were at the Downtown Grand.
Right.
And I'd heard Seth Shore at the time was telling me all about your act, and I loved it the moment he started talking about it. And he was telling me a story that you had actually worked at Lady Luck.
I did, yeah. Now,
tell me the story about there's a couple of versions of it. I want to hear you talk about it when you worked in valet, right?
I got a valet job there when I was 18. I was also building poker machines for Mickey Wyshynski over at Games in Nevada. He had a manufacturing company. But the valet job was so great that I ended up leaving that because I was working two jobs. I mean, it was crazy. And that was a great job for me. I worked there for 2 years, and I parked a van in the garage. The garage is still there across the street. That was our garage. And and I hit something on the ceiling. And so clearly it was not my fault. And
I went to the ceiling's fault.
Yeah, well, it was a maintenance issue. And
I'm
telling you.
Is it the little thing that says, if you're taller than this, don't proceed, and then you hit it?
So if
it was too tall?
If you pass that sign, doesn't that make you feel like you're going to be fine in the garage?
Yes.
So I passed that sign,
okay,
no
so
problem.
Okay, so you made it past the sign. I thought it was the sign.
No, it was further up on the third floor.
Not guilty.
Thank you.
Yes, as a judge, I say no. Not responsible.
Well, I ended up getting fired over that situation, and that's what I guess prompted me to start my first business, which was a carpet cleaning company. So it was good. It was a really good job. You know, I made a lot of money as a young guy, and I learned how to invest my money. My grandfather mentored me in that, so it was a good transitional job.
One piece of this was that you made enough money at that job to buy your first guitar or an early guitar.
Oh yeah, no, that actually my very first guitar I built out of a tennis racket.
What?
Yeah, I found turntables in my dad's garage.
Wow.
And I knew that if you touched the needle, the stylus, it made noise through the speakers. So I took a tennis racket. And I took cardboard and I cut them out as a shape of a flying V, and I put electrical tape over the whole thing. And I ruined the three turntables, pulled the needle, the stylus out. I mounted them on the back of the cardboard, took rubber bands and strung it, and then I touched the wires together to get it to play. And this thing played through the stereo. And my dad came home. Once he got over the fact that I destroyed three record players, he said, "Let's go." And he took me to Gerheim's Music and Commercial Center, and he bought me my first $100 Harmony guitar.
Gerheim's Music.
Gerheim's. So did it play? Oh, did it actually
it played.
Play
oh, yeah.
something? I mean, that is ingenious.
Well, you could pull Eddie Van Halen ingenuity, right?
Yeah, he was definitely it's a kid that just had an imagination and that really, really wanted it, you know?
You got to have a passion.
I want to know what that would sound like.
It sounds like rubber bands going through speakers on a stereo. Yeah. But you can pull them. You can to change the tension for pitch.
I was just going to say, you could change the pitch and everything.
It's Les Paul in 1940, then, right? Is that how it feels?
I'm obsessed with that
story.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So when I got to, when I was, you know, at Valley Park and I was making good enough money and I started to buy, not just guitars, but I bought my first new guitar was when I was actually 13 or 14. And that's something that I'd saved up money for. But when I became a Valley Parker, I was making the kind of money that I could buy microphones and speakers and, you know, amps and pedals. And I was basically blowing most of the money I was making.
All in Vegas.
All this happens in Las Vegas.
So I should take notes. I should start dating a Valley Parker. They're bringing in the box. Yeah. Presents.
I can introduce you to some at Downtown Grand. I was just there yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us what we're going to see, Michael Shapiro, out of this show at the Smith Center Cabaret Jazz. Have you been in there? You've been in the room.
Yeah, I did a walkthrough.
What do you think of the room, and what are you going to bring in there?
I've been in both. I've been in Reynolds Hall as well. I saw Frank Sinatra Jr. Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. That room is fantastic. It's so gorgeous.
And then I did a walkthrough of Cabaret Jazz, so I haven't seen an act there, but I've seen the room. We're planning all kinds of stuff. You know, we've been doing a lot of free shows around, and this is a different deal because it's a ticketed event, and so we're going to have dancers, and I've got a couple of surprises that I don't want to say, but there's a huge screen there for the video montages. Most of the songs have video montages that sync up with the songs.
Yeah, exactly.
We built a stage prop, which I'm not going to give away on the air, and so there's
with
gonna
rubber
be some,
bands and
yeah, it's a little bit better now.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. No, I want something built out of rubber bands. That's all I want.
Flying bee. Exactly.
I'll tell you what. I've always wanted to make another guitar like that because just to see if I could do it again. And if I do make it, I will come give it to you as a gift.
Oh my gosh, you should play it too.
You should bring it on stage.
Come and play it. Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Wait, Katz. I was just getting a gift here, and now you're thinking of other ideas.
Give her the guitar. Your act is going to be fine. Tell me about the band here, Michael. I mean, when I saw you guys, you had the bass player from
Mario.
That's changed. Mm-hmm. What happened there, and what do you got going on in the lineup now?
Mario's his age and Bay Area guy. He's got grandkids now. He didn't want to make the move to Las Vegas, and I understood that. And
this is the bassist, folks, from Huey Lewis and the News.
Original bassist.
Original, and all the videos. Yeah,
yeah, that's the guy
on tour and everything.
With the cigarette hanging out of
his mouth. Always with the cigarette.
He's too hip to be square.
And, exactly.
He is too hip to be square. And he's got sunglasses all the time.
Yep.
So who's in it now?
So I played with in '99. I had a band here in Las Vegas called Trip. Actually, we were in Edom together with this guy. So Chris Nichols.
Everything comes back to Edom.
Yes. And so I called him actually when I had a hunch that Mario wasn't going to want to make the move. I called him, last year at some point, and I said, hey, you'd be perfect for this. You know, he's like, oh, no. I play in church and I work for Nevada Power. I'm done. And I said, no.
Chris, you shouldn't say he works for Nevada Power.
Is that not good? Is Nevada Power not good?
Yeah, no, they're great.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. He's safe.
Yeah. Gotcha.
He's safe, yeah.
He has a corporate job. Okay. And so I worked on him for a long period of time. And finally he came around and right away, just a natural fit. He's a great singer. He's a handsome guy. He's an amazing bass player. And he's good with tools because he helped build the prop.
All right.
Yeah, very generous individual. Good guy.
But not good with rubber bands, I have a feeling.
Probably not. Yeah. No, that's my racket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, racket! Actual racket.
But also we should talk about your CD, which is The Hard Way. And where can people get this?
Can we, real quick, though, I don't want to leave out Ryan Lowe. Our drummer.
He's a drummer. He's a singer,
don't
too.
You mean Dr. Fu?
Dr. Fu, yeah. Dr. Fu is still in the Bay Area.
He's
he
not
flies
really a
in
doctor,
for
right?
shows. Yeah, I think he might be.
Is he really? Because I made an appointment with him.
Good luck with that. Ooh, okay. Now we can move on to the album if you'd like.
He's a doctor of foo. I love it.
He's the drummer. He burns it up.
Okay,
the
so
band
now,
is cracking. The band
now
is crazy.
Now, the songs on this are ridiculous. They look so good. Like Luck Be a Lady, Everybody Loves Somebody, Ring of Fire, Love Me Tender, on and on and on. Where can people get this?
It's on iTunes. And you can also buy it direct from from the artist, us. It's recklessinvegas.com.
Nice.
When was this released?
It's been 2 years now, so we're due for the next one.
And how do you develop new material for a new album?
Painfully.
You've already picked over the low-hanging fruit, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit still.
Well, give us an example of one
song. Are you getting back to the band?
No.
Okay, One For My Baby is a brand new arrangement. We're adding
cool.
to the show. Yeah,
very cool.
And you're very smoldering on the back cover.
Smoldering. Is that good?
Smoldering's good.
I've heard dark. Some people say, well, it's a little dark.
It's dark and smoldering.
No, I think it's smoldering.
He's
that's
brooding.
Hot. Yeah.
Though
you
Why are you so mad?
He's got great teeth,
I'm angry.
Though. You're not showing your teeth. I'm a teeth girl. You have great teeth.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's a very smoldering picture.
It's all smoldering.
And I noticed the Huey Lewis guy in the back.
Yeah. We need another hour.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We are going to wrap it up, my friend. It's no! Reckless in Vegas. It's 1960s Vegas reinvented and reinvigorated. They're so much fun, and I hope this is the beginning of some extended residency action. Tickets are going to be for sale online on August 1st. The Smith Center gig at Cabaret Jazz is going to be August 14th at 8 p.m. Catch it if you can. Tickets are moving. Tickets are already moving really well for this, so
get them. Get them quick.
See these guys, if not there, somewhere. Because they're worth it. Their heart's in the right place, and they are musically
outstanding. I'm excited.
It's going to be great. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for joining.
When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway, like a lazy ocean hugs the shore.